Well, last week we started this new series, Time. What are you doing with it? And we said, our time is our life. And it just, I mean, it just keeps ticking and ticking and ticking. So how we use our time is a big, big deal. And we said that fulfillment flows out of a right focus. So if we're going to leverage our time, we need to make sure that we are putting first things first. We need to figure out what it is that we are going to center, that we are going to anchor our lives in. Now, some of you, you may struggle a little bit with this next statement. You may disagree with it. And that's okay. But Jesus claimed that if we're going to find the fulfillment and the life of meaning and purpose and significance and even the life of inner peace and joy that we so long for, we have got to center our lives in God. We've got to seek God first. We've got to make him the priority of our lives. You see, until we figure out what our life is going to be anchored in, what our life is going to be centered in, there's always going to be tension in our life. Because we're living this tension of what do I do? Is this more important? Is this more important? What should I be doing in my life? And that tension leads to an imbalance in our lives. So what we've got to do is we've got to figure out what's going to be the center of our life. What is going to be most important in our life? Once we get clear on that, we got to put that in its rightful place. We got to put first things first. Now, I don't know about you, but my schedule gets a little crazy at time. I like to see progress. I like to see things happen. And I tend to think that I can actually get more done than I actually can a lot of times. And so what I'll do is I'll just keep cramming things into my schedule. And I just get it all jammed up. And eventually I end up frazzled and stressed and all that. But I don't think I'm the only one that lives that way. I think a lot of us find ourselves living that way. We've got jobs. We've got school. We've got all these assignments and projects. We've got appointments, we've got deadlines, we've got homework. And then on top of all the work and school and all that kind of stuff, then we've got like our kids' activities. And a lot of these things, I mean, most of these things that we're doing, I mean, they're things that need to get done. I mean, these are regular things that we need to do. But the problem so many times is that we just keep adding more on. We just keep adding more and more and more and more and more onto already overloaded schedules because we're afraid that we're going to miss out, or we're afraid that our kids are going to miss out, or we're afraid that we're going to fall behind somehow. And so what happens a lot of times is our priorities start getting out of whack. And we know it. I mean, we feel it. We feel that something isn't right. And yet, in spite of that, we keep adding more and more and more and more on our schedule. And we just wear ourselves out. We wear ourselves out physically. We wear ourselves out emotionally. We struggle in our relationships because we're short, we're impatient. Our spiritual life becomes stagnant. We're just kind of treading water. We're just kind of, you know, coasting. There's no way to live. It isn't. And in the midst of all of that, that we experience in our life, it's like God comes along and God says, what you need to do is you need to pause. Pause. And, I mean, here we are. We need more time. We need to get more done. We're trying to get more into our life. And God says, no, that's not what you need. What you need is you need to pause. God says, in fact, that you need to pause regularly. You need to slow down and pause on a regular basis. I mean, this is so interesting. It's almost like God knew that we would have this tendency to overdo it and to get ourselves so busy trying to make things happen, trying to control things in our life, that we would lose sight of what really matters most. It's like he knew that we would do that. And so God addresses this issue just head on in the Big Ten. And like the Ten Commandments gave us to maximize our life. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at this passage of Scripture where you find the Ten Commandments. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open it up to Exodus. Exodus is part of the Torah in the Old Testament. It's part of the Pentateuch, the first five, section of first five books in the Bible. So you got Genesis and then Exodus. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to be looking specifically at the fourth commandment. And part of what's so interesting about the fourth commandment is it is the longest commandment. There's more said about this issue of the pause, this pause thing, than it says about murder or it talks about adultery or any of that. It's almost as if God is saying, I want you to get this. Okay? I want you to get it. I want you to take this seriously. So look at this, Exodus chapter 20, we're going to begin in verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day. Now, you know what the word Sabbath means? That word Sabbath simply means rest. That's what it means. It means rest. It's a day of rest. So it says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now the word holy simply means set apart or different. It's to be a unique, it's like a different kind of day. It's to be a day that is used for a higher purpose. And then it goes on in verse 9 and says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. You see, our great God designed this wonderful thing called human labor. What we call work, not as a punishment, okay? Understand that this was not designed as a punishment, but as a gift. Work is actually a good thing. He offers it to us as a gift that enables us to feel purposeful and useful, and it challenges us to identify and develop and actually stretch our God-given potential. However, as with a lot of other good gifts from God, human beings tend to find ways to abuse good gifts that God gives us. And so many people have taken God's good gift and they've turned it into a bad gift. And so throughout the course of human history, countless men and women have done just that. And we end up ordering our whole life around our work. And we end up ordering our relationships around our work. And we end up wounding our spouses. And we end up wounding our kids. All because we're ordering everything in our life around our work. In my own life, there have been times where I've gotten so caught up in good work, I mean, in God's work, that I've hurt my family. At times, we're so caught up in it that we hurt the people right around us. We hurt our bodies because of our work. And more often than you and I would care to admit, people lose their souls throughout all eternity because God gets squeezed out of their consciousness because we are so consumed with work. We order everything around it. But it goes on in verse 10 and says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. Sabbath is a day of rest. So the seventh day is a Sabbath, a day of rest to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. Now, when it talks about foreigners, what it's talking about is people from other lands, from other regions that were living amongst them. So what God is getting at right here, what he's saying is that not only do you need a day off, but the people that you influence, the people that you have influence over, they need a day off as well. And then he goes on in verse 11 and says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. And this is so important that God uses himself here as an example. See, when he created the world, it says that he took 6 days to create it. And then what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. On the seventh day, he rested. Now, why? Why did God rest? Was God tired? No, God doesn't get tired, okay? That's not why God rested. The reason that God rested And it was because he was modeling a very important principle that ultimately he wanted us to get. The principle that he was modeling was that in life, God says every 7 days, you need a pause. Every 7 days, we need a pause. Every 7 days, we need to take a day off. We need to do it every 7 days. The verse goes on and says, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, the reality is, this right here, this is pretty clear. He says, every 7 days, I want you to take a day off. This isn't a suggestion. This is a command. God is commanding us to pause and take a day off every week. Every 7 days, he's saying you need a break. Every 7 days, you need a pause, a day to rest and recharge and refocus and recalibrate your life. Now, here's what I want you to get. Slowing down and pausing is an act of bravery and faith. Slowing down and pausing is an act of bravery and faith because it's trusting God with our time. And our time is our life. And it just keeps ticking. But in the midst of the ticking of time, God says, I want you to pause. I want you to trust me in this. And so when we do that, when we slow down and we pause, it's an act of bravery. It's an act of faith. It is saying, God, I am going to trust you. I'm trusting you. So when we take a day off every 7 days, we're saying, but of course, God. But of course I'm going to trust you in this area of my life. But of course, God, I'm going to honor you and trust you to bless the other 6 days of my life. And I'm going to trust you to energize me. And I'm going to trust you to help me live a healthier and a more balanced and a more fulfilled life. I'm going to trust you. So what we need to do is we need to rearrange our schedule to slow down and refocus on God. And look what Jesus himself says about this. We're going to throw this up here on the screen, Mark 2:27. Then he, talking about Jesus, then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, this Sabbath, this pause, this break, this day of rest is saying is for our benefit. It's for our spiritual and emotional and relational and physical health. It was designed, the Sabbath was designed to help us maximize our lives. See, sometimes we need to do less to do more. Do you hear that? Sometimes we need to do less in life in order to ultimately do more. Now, some of you may be wondering, well, when is this? I mean, is this like Saturday, is this Sunday, is this Friday, when is it? Well, let me let you in on a little secret. There is a sense in which it really doesn't matter. The answer is once a week. It's once a week. You see, God doesn't care so much when it is as he cares that we do it, and we do it once a week. And some of you may be going, well, okay, then what's the whole big deal about Sunday then? Well, in the New Testament, the first Christians took the Jewish Sabbath, which was actually on Saturday, and they began to celebrate their Sabbath on Sunday, the Lord's Day, because that was the day when Jesus was resurrected. In fact, in Revelation, John refers to it as the Lord's Day. So it became the pattern of the early Christians together on Sunday to basically celebrate and honor the resurrection of Jesus. But as you read scripture, Colossians chapter 2, Romans 4:14 makes it very clear that as Christians, we're no longer tied down by what day we celebrate our Sabbath. I mean, look at this. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. It says, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. So what it's getting at is ultimately, it doesn't matter which day you choose to set aside, but we need to pick one specific day a week to rest and recharge and refocus our lives on God. And since one of the key purposes of the day is to recalibrate and refocus on God, it certainly makes sense that we would do that on a day when we gather to worship. But it's not a legalistic thing. Let me ask you though, do you think a regular day off, do you think a day of pause would do your family good? You think a regular day off, a pause would do you some good? Sure it would. Sure it would. Look back at verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. But the question then becomes how? I mean, how do we keep this Sabbath, this pause, this day of pause, this day of rest? How do we keep it holy? What do we do to make this day holy, set apart, to make it different? So God says what he wants us to do is he wants to set one day a week apart to do something different than we do the other 6 days. He wants us to have a change of pace on that day. I mean, that's what holy means. It means it's to be different, okay? It's to be unique, to be reserved, to be special, to be set apart for God. So how do I keep the Sabbath day? How do I keep my Sabbath day, my day of rest? How do I keep it holy? By using it the way God intended for it to be used. So what I want to do is I want to give you two very practical insights on how to keep this day to do what God intended for us to do on this day. So number one, first thing that we need to do is we need to use the day to rest and recharge. And we need to use this day, this pause day, this day of rest, we need to use it to rest and recharge. We need to pause once a week to get some rest. Once a week, we need to pause. Our bodies, our minds need a break. We were designed to need a break once a week. You know, it's interesting that these days, there are more time-saving devices than there have probably ever been. And yet people seem to be working harder, longer hours. They seem to be experiencing more stress, more pressure, more burnout than ever. So we need to take a day off. Because we should just get consumed by work. We can get consumed by our careers. You see, there are a lot of competing things that pull on us to work, to constantly be working, more money. You know, I need to work more because I want to make more money. Recognition, promotions, a sense of achievement, accomplishment. Look at me, look at the things that I've done. And we don't say it like that, but man, we just keep going because we like that. We like the recognition that we get. I mean, those are powerful forces that keep saying, work more, work more, work more. It's like this constant whisper in our heads, work more, work more. And we can actually become addicted to that. We can become addicted to work, but our bodies weren't built to work nonstop. So we need to learn to leave work at work. And of course, nowadays with computers and cell phones, I mean, it's easier than ever to be on all the time. You see, we think that we can get more done by continuing to work all the time. But in reality, what we end up doing is we throw a kink in the system and the whole system, our whole system ends up out of kilter. What's interesting is that even efficiency experts these days have discovered that reasonably spaced rest periods, reasonably spaced break periods increase productivity over people who work constantly and continually. You say, but you know, you don't understand. When I relax, I just feel guilty about it. Oh, listen, you don't need to feel guilty. You don't. Jesus himself rested, and he didn't feel guilty. And Jesus took a day off every 7 days. God rested on the seventh day after creation. You see, an unwillingness to take a day off is basically, I've got so much to do, and I am so important that everything is going to fall apart without me. The world is going to fall apart without me. Guess what? You can resign as general manager of the universe, and it's not going to fall apart. Okay? You're important. You're not that important. Okay? It's going to be okay. Things are going to keep going. You see, actually, a reluctance to rest is a sign of immaturity and insecurity. I mean, think about it with your kids. And they're young, they're mature and stuff. And when it comes to bedtime, do they want to go to bed and get their proper rest? No, not typically. Okay, not typically. I mean, bedtime, turn around. Oh, can we stay up? Can we watch another show? Can we play another game on our deal? And then about the time you kind of get them corralled into, you know, the bedroom, they're about to ready to go to bed. What's the question comes up? Can I go potty? I gotta pee. Can I go potty? Okay, so we get them there, and then they come back in, and they got one more question. Can I get some water? Can I go get a drink of water? So you fill back up and you got to go pee again. What's up with this deal? I mean, they want to stay up. That's the immaturity of them. They want that. But any good parent knows that they need their rest, because if not, man, it's going to be miserable for them the next day. They're going to be grumpy. They're going to be a mess. They're going to be little bears, and they're going to make your life miserable. And so good parents make sure that their kids get their proper rest. And what we need to do in our own lives is we need to make sure that we are getting our proper rest. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to use our Sabbath, we need to use our day off once a week to rest. Sleep in. You know, take a nap. You know, whatever. Do something different than what you would normally do. But not only do we need to use the day to rest, but we also need to use this day to recharge. You see, it's not just about resting mentally and physically. We need to recharge emotionally. But how do we do that? Well, it depends on who you are, because we all tend to replenish and recharge in our own way. So we've got to figure out what it is that replenishes us. I mean, for some, it may be gardening. You know, for some, it may be doing crafts. For some, it may be working with wood. For some, it may be walking. For some, it may be biking. For some, it may be cooking. Or it may be sports for you. But we got to be honest on this deal. Because like when it comes to sports, I mean, some of us, we are so competitive, like playing tennis or golf, that we go out there and it's not relaxing. It is not replenishing. I mean, we're out there to win. I mean, we're going to win it all. I mean, we get so aggravated and frustrated. I mean, we're ready to throw the clubs and we're cussing. I mean, man, it is not relaxing. I mean, the rest of the half of the day after we finish playing, I mean, we're muttering to ourselves, we're replaying all the other stuff, and I mean, it's not relaxing. We need to be honest with ourselves. For me, I've discovered some of the things that are the replenishing is just being out in nature. I mean, it just does something for me. I mean, hiking, mountain biking. And then just sitting by a river, by a creek or the ocean, something about water. But being out in nature just does something to replenish me. Maybe it's going to garage sales that does it for you. I don't know. Whatever it is, we need to figure out what it is that replenishes. Healthy relationships replenishes. Have you noticed there are certain relationships that you have that are draining? You spend time with certain people and you walk away from that time and you're just like, whoa, you know, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. There's certain relationships that are draining. Then there are other relationships that are just kind of neutral. But then there are other relationships, man, when you get to spend 2 or 3 hours with those individuals, I mean, man, they are so inspiring, motivating, encouraging, whatever the word that you want to use. But man, when you walk away from being with them, it's like you're ready to take on the world. What we need to learn to do is we need to learn to give ourselves permission and actually carve out time for those relationships. We need to build things in to our life that provide us with replenishment, that recharges. So we need to use this time to rest and recharge. But even more importantly, number two, we need to use this day to recalibrate spiritually and refocus on God. We use this day to recalibrate our spirit and refocus on God. We need to use the day to make sure that we're in tune with God, that He really is the priority, the focus of our lives. It's the day to basically go, is He really? Is He really? That's one of the advantages of gathering together like this, once a week. It's a time to recalibrate and to refocus on God. It's a time to think through and refocus and remind ourselves what's important. This is basically a spiritual tune-up is what this is. So we need to recalibrate and reevaluate our lives on a regular basis if we're going to keep from drifting spiritually in our lives. And I'll tell you, even though I've been a Christian for some 50 years and I'm trying to live a devoted Christian life, my behavior, my attitude is constantly needing recalibrations. I mean, I amaze myself sometimes at how quickly I need a spiritual recalibration. I mean, I will spend time with God in the morning, time alone with Him, and then halfway through the morning, man, I need to recalibrate my life. Middle of the afternoon, I need to recalibrate my life. I feel it. I'm drifting. Jesus Himself took time to replenish by spending time with His Heavenly Father. And if Jesus needed it, I mean, we certainly need that in our lives. But not only do you need to recalibrate throughout the day, but once a week, we need a focus time to do some major recalibration because we need to make sure that we are focused on the right things. We need to make sure that first things are first in our lives. And that's part of what worship does. That's part of what gathering together like this does. It's a time to express our love, to express our devotion to God. It's a time to be challenged spiritually. It helps bring into focus what's really important to us. See, the tragedy is a lot of people who take a day off. They use it to care for their physical needs. I mean, they rest and they even do some recreational things to recharge, but they ignore their most important need, which is that our soul is empty. Our spiritual batteries are empty. And we're drifting. You see, we need God. We need His presence and power and love and the awareness that He is with us, the awareness that He is in control. We need to live with that awareness ongoing. So we need times to keep that before ourselves. You see, in America, we've turned Sunday into fun day. And we get to thinking that life is all about work and play, work and play, work and play, and work and play. And if we begin to live that way, thinking, oh, that's all there is to life, just work and play, work and play, work and play, keep working, keep playing, keep work, play, work, play, work, play. We miss out on a lot of life because life is about a lot more than just that. Look at this question that Jesus threw out, Mark 8:36. Jesus says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? So what if you gain everything there's to gain, but you lose your soul? And God, in essence, He wants us to ask ourselves that question every 7 days. What am I giving my life in exchange for? What did I give the last 7 days in exchange for? What am I exchanging my soul for? What did I give the last 168 hours of my life, the last week of my, what did I give it for? What was that? He wants us to stop and re-examine our priorities, re-examine what's most important in our lives. What are we doing with our lives? He wants us to slow down and get in tune with Him. He wants us to get our priorities refocused on God. And we need that. Okay, we need that every 7 days. Now, parents, if you want a practical way to be the spiritual leader in your home, here's a very simple, practical way that you can do that. Be faithful in worship. In weekend services like this. I mean, you can be a good example and model that for your kids. But of course we're going to go to church today. Of course we're going to go to church this weekend. Why? Because it's once a week time to refocus on God and make sure that our priorities are right. Because it's once a week time to express our love and our devotion and our thanks to God for what He's done and what He continues to do in our lives. You see, more than teaching our kids values, we model values. That's how they really learn, by what we model. So every time that we say, no, we're not going to go to church because, you know, we decide we're going to go to the lake. Or we decide we got a lot of little chores around here. We're just kind of tired today. Every time we do that, we're modeling something. We're modeling that God really isn't that important to us. God says every 7 days you need a day to rest, to recharge, to recalibrate and refocus your life on God. We need that. We need it. You see, part of what we need to do on our day of rest, part of what we need to do on our Sabbath is we need to quiet our soul. We need to still and quiet our soul before God. God says, be still and know that I am God. What do we need to do? We need to be still. He says, and know that I am God. So we need to schedule some stillness. We need to schedule some quiet into our Sabbath so we can just be alone with God and listen to him. A lot of people use a whole weekend for recreation, but they never have any quiet. And then they don't know why they're so stressed out when they go back to work. Once a week, we need to set aside a day to let God speak into our lives. We need to set aside a day to let God speak into our soul, to let God speak into our schedule, to let him speak into our priorities, to let him speak into our relationships. Now, it's not a legalistic thing, okay? It's not. But we need to pause. We need to make sure that we are getting refreshed. We need to make sure that we are honoring God with our lives. Now, when you get a car, when you get a new car, you get a little book with it, and in it there's a maintenance schedule. You get the owner's manual, and there's a maintenance schedule. And if you will follow that maintenance schedule, and you will do the maintenance on your car in the intervals that they tell you that you need to do it, that car is going to last a long time. Well, the owner's manual for our life is this book. It's the Bible. It's God's word. And in it, there is a maintenance schedule. And the maintenance schedule says that every 7 days, we need a pause. We need a day off. We need a break. We need a day to rest and recharge and refocus and recalibrate our lives to make sure that first things are first, to make sure that we are prioritizing God in our lives. Every 7 days, so that's the maintenance schedule. Every 7 days, we need a pause to get replenished and refocused in our life. And when we live our lives doing that, we will become more successful. We will have fewer ulcers. We will be less stressed. We'll be living with a lot less pressure. Every 7 days, we need to decompress. Every 7 days. And you go, why is this such a big deal? Because this is what's going to keep us in tune. This is what's going to keep us in sync with God. This is what's going to keep us headed in the right direction in life, prioritizing God and people, prioritizing and focusing on the right things, keeping first things first. But you see, what a lot of us end up doing in our lives is we do a lot of things. I mean, we're busy doing all kinds of things, and a lot of them are even good things. But a lot of times, in the midst of the good things that we are doing, we miss out on what matters most. Sometimes we need to do less to do more. Sometimes we need to do less to do more. Now, if you haven't been doing this, man, I understand. I really do, that this isn't easy. Because if you were going to begin to do this, if you were going to begin to take a day off, a day to pause, a day to rest, a day to recharge and recalibrate and refocus your life on God, if you're going to begin to do that, for most of us, what that means is we're going to have to rearrange some things. We're going to have to rearrange some things in our schedule. We're going to have to cut some things out of our schedule. We're going to have to make some really tough choices in our life. And what are we going to have to cut out in order to make God the clear priority of our life? What are you going to have to cut out in order to put first things first? That's where pausing is an act of bravery and faith. I mean, it really is. It is an act of bravery and faith. Because you're saying, I'm going to trust God. It's trusting God to stretch our time. It's trusting God to bless our time. It's trusting God to give us the wisdom to get done the things that we really need to get done. And it's trusting God to handle the things that we can't get done, that we can't do, that we can't get around to. And that's hard. That takes courage. That takes faith. And I know that. I know it's hard. I know that it isn't easy to trust God with our time. But once we make that decision, we'll realize it is the best decision that we've made. Pausing, slowing down and pausing is an act of bravery and faith. It really is. I mean, try it. Try it this week. Take a day off. Determine, man, I'm going to take a day off. Maybe you need to start with a half a day to get going. Say, I'm going to take a day off to rest and recharge and recalibrate my life and refocus on what really matters in my life. And for most of you, it's probably going to be either Saturday or a Sunday. But make sure that you build some quiet time, some stillness into it. Slow down and be quiet that day and include a time of worship. And in whatever form you want, ask yourself this question we talked about earlier. What have I given the last 168 hours of my life to? What have I given my last 7 days to? What have I exchanged my soul for this week? Are first things really first in my life? You see, Scripture says that the Sabbath, this day of rest, was given to us for our benefit. And I believe that when you begin to experience this in your life, you'll want to stick with it. You will. Now, in my life, the weekends, that is not my Sabbath. Those are some of the busiest days for me. So my Sabbath, my day of rest, my pause day is on Friday. That's the day that I take off to replenish, to refocus, do those things. And I've got to be honest and say there are times where I'm not quite as intentional as I really should be. And yet even then, even when I'm not as intentional as I should be, the difference, it just makes a mammoth difference in my life. And when I am more intentional, man, the effects are even greater in my life. Now, even when we're taking this day off and when we're breaking, I mean, it's easy for a lot of things to kind of sneak in into our lives and busy little things and stuff. But as we honor God in this area of our lives, what happens is God blesses us and he stretches, he multiplies our time and he energizes us a lot of times in ways that, I mean, it's hard to even explain. Pausing, slowing down and pausing is an act of bravery and faith. Try it. Try it. Now, and we're going to wrap up. We're going to pray here in just a moment. But when we don't pause and when we don't keep Jesus at the center of our lives and we don't follow in his ways, one of the clearest signs that's happening in our lives is that our priorities get out of whack. They get out of kilter. And we begin to feel, to experience kind of like a chronic fatigue. And when I talk about fatigue, I'm not talking so much about a physical fatigue as I am an emotional and spiritual fatigue in our lives. We just live with this internal sense of uneasiness, this internal unrest, that something isn't right. And the reason for that is because we're out of sync with God. We need to slow down and do less in order to do more. And that takes bravery. That takes faith. But what we need, even more than we need a day off, even more than we need a pause, and we need that, but what we need even more is a new life manager. We need a new life manager who can give us the wisdom and the inner courage and the bravery and the faith to step out in faith and say, but of course, God, but of course, I want you to make these changes. I want to make the changes in my time, in my schedule, so I can honor you, so that I can pause to stay focused on the right things. Jesus wants to be that manager in your life. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Soul rest. If you're here today and you never experienced that rest that Jesus gives, he is the ultimate source of rest, because he allows us to get our lives in sync with God. And if you've never made Jesus the center of your life, you've never made him the savior of your life, you've never made him the ultimate source of rest in your life, I want to give you a chance to do that. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you've never made Jesus that ultimate source of inner rest and peace in your life, would you pray in your heart and say, God, I'm tired of trying to control everything in my life, not just my time, my schedule, but all kinds of things. God, I'm tired of the fatigue. I'm tired of the stress. I'm tired of trying to call the shots. And so, God, today I want to put my trust, my faith in Jesus and what he did by dying on the cross. God, forgive me for thinking that all my work, all my activity, the accomplishments, that would bring the fulfillment, the inner peace in my life. God, I want you to be my ultimate source of peace. Replace the pressure, the stress with your peace and your rest. Did you say that? And then, whether you just open your heart up to Jesus or you did that sometime back, would you be willing to offer your schedule to God? Why don't you pray in your heart and say, God, I want to trust you with my time. God, I want to honor you by pausing, by taking a day off, by setting aside time to rest and recharge and recalibrate my life and refocus on you on what really matters most. God, I want to trust you. I want to honor you. God, give me the wisdom, give me the insight that I need to rearrange my schedule in order to be able to do that. Because God, more than anything else, I want to honor you. And God, I also want to use this time to honor my family and to take care of myself. So God, give me the courage, the bravery to pause and to keep my life focused on the right things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.